it just so happens, as we follow these two parallel reading cycles here in the book of Numbers and in Matthew, that they both come to the same problem today from different angles. The people, having just been led through the desert, fed on manna, cared for, they send for 40 days, they send these people in there, and the scouts come back, and the majority are saying, this is too much. You know, they're huge, they got big cities, we'd never take this place. Caleb said, we ought to go up and seize the land, for we can certainly do so. And then there's this big, you know, lamentation in the people. Finally, they don't go. Now this woman meets with opposition too. The apostles, the disciples, just send her away. I mean, she's bothering us. You know. We got work to do, or whatever. And Jesus gives her a hard time. He's Jewish. He's sent to the house of Israel, to the lost sheep. And he says it's not right to take the food destined for the children, that is for the Jews, and throw it to the dogs, calling her a dog. She doesn't care. She's got two things going for her. One, she loves her daughter. And two, she knows somehow not only that this person can heal, but that she can reach him. And so she counters. But at least they eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And our Lord can't resist anymore. Now what does he say is so admirable about her? Her faith. O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. Which is the same thing he says in Matthew's gospel when the two blind men are running after him. He said, do you believe I can do this? Yes. Well then, as you believe, let it be done to you. And so here, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish. And the daughter who had a demon, he now describes as having been healed from that hour. So, the difference between the first group and this woman is faith. Well, what is faith? It's being true to what we know by the mercy of God to be true, to be the case. Now, we're challenged all the time this way. And most of the time, I guess, we kind of buckle. Matthew has a word he uses often, the way our Lord spoke to his disciples. They're called oligopisti, meaning little faith. See, what's the definition of a disciple? Little faith. Faith, but not much. What kind of faith is this? It means not parting from the truth I know, even under difficulty. I know. I know there is a God. I know that he's my Father. I know that Jesus Christ is equal to him and he's his Son. I know how much he loves us. They've sent the Holy Spirit as the fruit of the blood of Christ. So why don't I just go ahead and believe? See, belief is being true to what you know to be true. I've given this example before, but if a guy walks in the door there with a machine gun and says, everybody who, you know, claims, knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, line up against the wall. Well, where are you going to go? You're going to go up against the wall. You can't say, no, you know he's the Son of God. You just can say, I hope he can shoot straight. You know. But You've got to do that. In other words, that's the advantage of trial, is to bring us back to the bedrock of the gift of faith. It's a gift. And our role is to return to that gift, that power, that ability to believe. Most knowledge that we possess comes through believing the word of another. How many people in this chapel have ever been to Borneo? Do you know there's a Borneo? How? You believe somebody. How do you know there's a Trinity? Of course you do. You take it on the word of Jesus Christ. Just like you believe there's a Borneo. Except this one, you can't do without divine aid. You cannot believe without divine aid. It's so beyond us. But that faith every day, every moment, we're being gifted by this faith. And so one of the roles of trial is to bring us back to our foundation. Yes, there is a God. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Trinity. Yes, you know, the church is the body of Christ. Yes, this bread and wine is the body and blood of Christ. How do we keep that alive? Prayer. Prayer is always an exercise of faith. It's not just a meditation. It's an exercise of faith. And so you see, we're once again reminded that we should learn how to settle on our own foundations. How do you know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Jesus told me. And if I believe a guy about Borneo, why wouldn't I believe the Son of God about the Trinity? But I can't do that second one without a movement from God Himself, because it's so beyond me. It's a pure gift that God wants to, of course, share, which is the whole role of preaching. Tell everybody, and the Lord will work in their spirit. You see, our Lord tells us in John's Gospel that the Holy Spirit will witness and we will witness. And Augustine says, He interiorly, we exteriorly. So that if I'm witnessing, the Holy Spirit is moving inside. The person can reject it. So as we look at these beautiful texts, you see, we have this awareness. God told them to go in. Well, He's God. Go in. The odds are against us. Well, I don't know how big the odds can be when God Himself is telling me to go in. But you see how little faith we have. It takes faith to obey God. It takes faith to say, God is telling us this. I have a friend who has a gift for undertaking big projects. It's the virtue of magnificence. And he has this gift. He started this commentary, gathering all the fathers of the church on each book of the Bible. And it's done. In fact, it's being translated into about 14 languages, Russian, Arabic, Chinese. That's a big project, right? Well, now he started on another one. You see, he believes the Lord when the Lord said, I want you to do this. And so he did it. Now, when things get tough, it's sort of valid to go back and say, Lord, did you really tell me to do this? And he'll tell you yes. I think that the theme of the day and of our life is to yield to the truth. Today, we celebrate a mysterion, a mystery. It's a revelation of some aspect of God's plan. Every day at Mass we say, let us proclaim the mystery of faith. And we say, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. That sums up the whole mysterion. Today, we have this mystery of this time when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples. And Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, were there with him. Now this mystery has two aspects to it. One is the radiance and glory, the true radiance and true glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the other is our destiny, where we're called. As it says in the letter to the Philippians, you see, we are going to be transformed to be like the body of his glory forever by the power that he has to subject all things to himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. When this glory finally settled on him forever, this kavod, at the resurrection, you see, he is Lord of the universe. And so, in order for us to enter into, to penetrate the mystery, you see, we have all these texts when we celebrate the liturgy. And there are more. You heard the sermon today. You see, these texts are meant to bring us in touch with this mystery. Now, the first text tells us about a Son of Man. This is the famous text where our Lord basically gets his authority to call himself the Son of Man. It's from here. And this was a vision of this man, Daniel. So hard, as always, to try to portray what one experiences when it's of God directly. The word that's usually used